The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
It came to a crossroads.
Yes.
Welcome once again. Let me try it again. Welcome once again to a special late edition of It Came From The Radio. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, we got preempted by the president.
Yeah, he was fixing stuff and saying things.
He was in the studio.
Yeah, he was. That was awesome. Thanks a lot, Obama. We did a fist pound or whatever.
Yeah, we did. We did a fist bump.
This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. Along with me in the studio, I have Hassan Godwin, who was vocal before.
Vocal.
And we have Charlie Saladino sitting across from us.
How you doing?
And for you fans of Herman, for some reason...
He's buying new underwear.
The Secret Service for Obama just tackled him outside, so that's it for him. He's not coming in this week. Well, maybe it was the underwear.
Well, he accused Obama of having a liberal agenda, like Hollywood, and therefore he was duly, summarily dismissed from the radio station.
So what happened was, he runs out and he's like, Obama! And that was the end of Herman.
But the clincher was when he said, you should be on my island, too. And yes. That was it. They took him away.
The famous Herman Island where all his arch enemies are living. And people who he doesn't even know the names of are on this island.
Yeah.
That guy who did that thing, I hate that guy. Anyway, so we were going to...
He's missing.
He's the invisible chair.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any trouble listening on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to our live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on a webcam. You just click on that. The password and information is right there. Click on us and you can actually see us right now on the webcam. 10-second picture frame delay thing, whatever it's called. And this phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. Oh, and sometimes I forget to mention that on our site, camefunradio.com, we have live chatting with fellow listeners, but we can't communicate with them.
No.
We communicate
so it's not live for us.
But I do respond later on.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah. So if you want to talk to us eventually, you can type onto the thing.
Well, just call us here.
Well, that's talking to us
now.
We're
done with our celebrity lifestyles. Yeah. We'll slow down enough to get on those comments.
So, yes. Let me take it away with the news.
From the desk of Mark Torres.
Actually, this was actually some time-sensitive news that I picked up on today.
Quickly.
An asteroid just missed the Earth by 49,000 miles. It was about.
But I kept that quiet.
It was about 1/5 the distance between the Earth and the Moon.
It, that's why the History Channel all day long had meteor strikes, talked about the end of the world and the Armageddon.
The scientists say it posed no risk to the planet. It was estimated between 19 to 45 feet wide.
They said that about Chernobyl, too.
Everything's okay. No,
everything's fine. Don't worry.
Pay no attention to the man behind the mirror.
That city's been deserted for like 30
years. Don't worry. That third eye is normal. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It passed by at 5:12 p.m. Today.
Really?
And it was visible only from Antarctica through the naked eye. So there you go.
Ooh, you missed me.
So yeah, when I got the information, it was going to hit. It was going to pass by. And so by the time I got here, I guess it didn't hit. Okay.
Were they telling anybody?
Well,
was there any news?
It was too
event?
Small to do anything to us.
Oh, okay.
I think it needs to be... it needs to be like 3 miles across or 3 to 6 miles across to wipe out all life on Earth.
Well, it might carry an alien or something inside.
Oh, that's true. You know. That's true.
In Antarctica,
right.
There's a movie
could've
right
been the
there.
The Cloverfield monster.
Yeah,
but he would have been frozen, so we would have found him for another 100 years. So that's our grandchild.
Unless you know some explorer, the group of scientists going out there.
That's why you don't let them go searching up there. That's why you take the grant away and make sure that they, you know. They stay in the desert where everything is dead.
Don't go underneath the sea. Don't go into the Antarctic. Just
they don't find anything in the desert, do they?
It's cold.
That's true.
Usually,
tombs.
Well, yeah, but that's when you go digging into mummy tombs and start reading from scrolls.
Don't do that.
Always bad things are going to happen like that in my basement. You start reading from some strange scroll.
Yeah. Look what I found in this chest that was handed down from my parents for years and
years. Anytime they're exploring the ocean floor or the Arctic, they always dig up something. They very rarely find anything in the desert.
Except more desert.
Yeah.
Moving along.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Speaking of time-sensitive news,
Mr. Segway.
Time-sensitive news.
Last week was our one-year anniversary. We did a whole year's worth of shows.
Last Wednesday?
Last week, yeah, last Wednesday.
Shouldn't we have mentioned that last Wednesday?
You know what?
No, I did say it was time-sensitive, didn't I?
And we missed the statute of limitations on it.
And I didn't get you guys anything.
Don't worry, we didn't get you nothing either.
Oh, good. I feel very nice.
And one of us didn't even show up tonight.
So yes, it's true. Last week, September 1st, we had our very first Came From the Radio show, and we came back from when we switched over from the Comic Book Novice to
Came From the Radio. Right, is that a year?
Yeah, and it's funny because we were on a different day and time, so we were actually on Thursday.
Tuesday from 11 to 12.
So as most of you know, the calendar, the days move over. So when I did the archives, I uploaded the archive, and I uploaded last year's show. And I was like, this doesn't sound right. And that's why I was like, oh, it was a year. There you go.
There you go.
So congratulations.
But yay, we're cool.
Happy anniversary to us.
We're cool, we're deep, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
whenever that check clears.
Speaking of... I can't even do it.
What?
He's
skipping
week,
news.
Speaking of stuff that happened last week.
Mr. Segway.
Stuff that happened last week.
Last week also had the re-release of Avatar, and it was a special edition with nine whole minutes of new footage.
I went to see that.
I didn't see it.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
How were those nine minutes?
I tell you, there was one that was really apparent. And then a couple of others that I, did I see that the last time? You know.
Right.
And every time I said to myself, did I see that the last time? Those were the extra. Those were the extra. I think you would like it.
I'd like the opportunity to see it in IMAX. Yeah. But, I got stuff to do.
Did you see what is it called? The Stern Beast?
Yes, I did. Hunting the Stern Beast.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Yeah.
Really? Did it look like Howard Stern?
According to James Cameron, it was a harmless, single-horned, massive blue cow.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying.
Saw that. Purple. There was a whole hunting
blue
scene
people
in
eater.
There, too.
There was a hunting, extra hunting scene?
Hunting scene, yeah.
So was it just more effects, or was it like more story that it
It was the stuff that you really didn't need in the first one, and it was all well that they took it out because you didn't miss anything from it being out of the first one. So... it was like, oh, okay, the apparent scene, I'm not giving it away, but one of the apparent scenes were at the ending, which, again, if they left it out, that would have been all fine and good,
right,
but it was nice, it was good that it was in there.
So would you be saying this if you had paid nine whole minutes is basically $1 a minute for the IMAX 3D? You're paying for. Is it worth
$9?
$9 extra. Well, I'm saying $9 extra right. Beyond the original ticket price.
Yeah.
Was it worth that much extra?
No, definitely not.
Just
I'd like to see it in IMAX. That's the whole reason
but
I would.
For free.
Again, what would be worth is for the people who didn't see it in IMAX
at
to
all.
See
okay.
in 3D IMAX. Because,
that's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Because, but if you've seen it, those extra scenes.
I saw it way upstate in some really...
yeah,
piss poor. I saw it for I saw it in 3D though, but I almost had an embolism because of.
And then you went and you liked it so much you went and lived on a planet for like 6 months.
I don't want to talk about that. Oh, why do we always keep bringing that up? That was not a good experience for me. A mountain fell on a friend of mine.
poor guy.
No one told him that they fall.
That wasn't on the information that they handed to you on the way down.
No,
there.
You should. That would have should have been in the brochure. Yeah, that should have been in the small ready hand list of things that could happen in on Pandora. But whatever.
Do not sunbathe under the mountain.
Right. Yes. Which, you know, which should be obvious anyway. I mean, how much sun could you get under a mountain?
Well,
isn't there supposed to be a special edition DVD, Super Director's Cut or something like that coming out?
Well, if you remember, the DVD that did come out was not in 3D, so I'm guessing that's what he wants to do is wait until the 3D TVs are prevalent, and then he's going to have a super special
like that,
3D
like that super
DVD.
Special Kill Bill DVD that a bunch of people were waiting for 5 years ago. I was like, oh, I'm not getting the two, I'm not getting those DVDs because he's going to come out with a special edition. Yeah. Still never did it.
Yeah, like I said.
You know what he came out with? He came out with a little box that you buy for 5 cents extra that you fold the box and you can put both the DVDs in it.
Ooh.
And it said Kill Bill on it. And I actually have that box.
See? So if you got one sale, cha-ching!
Yeah. It's cool. The search for more money box.
Exactly.
Yes.
Put money in box and send to me.
The special search for more money edition. Right? That was on the back,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Let me see. That's not really qualifying.
Hey, you're not prepared.
Right. No, I'm trying to find a suitable segue for this, but there really isn't.
There's no segue.
There's no segue for searching.
I'm tired of saying we just go right in. No segue. Yes.
After 65 years in comics, legendary artist Gene Colan is retiring.
Right.
The cover
of pencils. God bless him.
Somebody can retire on comic books.
Well, this is what this is about. The cover pencils from his final issue, which is Captain America number 601, which won an Eisner Award this year for best single comic, is now up for auction on eBay to help fund his retirement.
Wow.
Got to get those guys for the $1 million things that buy comics.
Wow.
I mean, I remember
imagine
back
that.
In the...
I'll give you $1 million. I'm in Hawaii. Thank you.
Yeah,
those three guys, right? It was three comics that was sold for over $1 million this year. This year.
Yeah. And this guy he's been doing it for
65 years. 65 years. He's been working.
He's been working for 65 years, and he needs a fund. That's wonderful.
This will be worth absolutely nothing years to come. Auction it.
Well, it's his final artwork that he's ever going to do until he decides to
do something
some
else.
it's on eBay right now, and as of this news printing, it was at $500. So,
Not going to get him too far.
You're
so
not going to get to Brooklyn with that.
Well, it just started. So,
I know, but
give it some time.
We got to trickle some more money in there.
I mean, you got to think of it as like the General Lee that Luke Snyder had.
Luke Snyder.
Oh, that's not his name. John Snyder.
John Snyder?
Yes. Bo and Luke, yes.
Yeah.
John Snyder.
Luke Skywalker Snyder.
The original Bo
Duke.
Yeah. He had one of the, I think it was like three original General Lees out there left. And he put it up on eBay and he made like a gazillion dollars.
He actually owned
one of them. Well, and I saw a thing on YouTube where he says that he can still beat anybody getting into the car with no window.
Really? Just hopping in?
He can just do it. He said he's been doing it so long, he can beat anybody hands down using a door to get it, and he can beat him hands down.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, because you know what happens. You get into the same car, the guy's getting in the other side, and he swings in and kicks him. And he kicks him out of the car. So he wins each
That's
every time.
That's what happens.
With a cowboy boot. Yeah.
Yeehaw!
With spurs on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, what happened? I don't know.
He fell.
I don't know.
But the bottom line, he lost. That's all that matters.
That's a contest right there.
That was like the guy who had the bounty from the original, the ship. Mutiny on the Bounty.
He had the ship.
And he just recently sold it about 2 or 3 months ago.
How do you sell a ship?
Yeah.
Where did he keep it?
He had the boat. Obviously in some
bottle?
Sort of water.
Obviously in the water.
Yeah,
it was
a
dry dock.
Yeah.
It was a dry dock somewhere.
Hi, welcome to my living room, and this is the ship.
How much did he sell it for?
That's the 4 year of his house,
yes.
Right?
I have the couch and the TV in the ship, but it is my living room.
And it constantly plays, being on the bouncy. Yeah.
He was upset he had to get rid of it. Yeah. Oh, it was a shame. I got to wheel this out of my foyer.
Yeah, it was auctioned off.
He sold it, but then he had to pay for the shipping and handling on your own.
How much did he sell the ship for?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It was being auctioned, and it was starting at some ridiculous price.
I say it was a gojillion dollars.
All right.
That's
excellent.
$1 billion.
That's some accurate journalism we just did.
Yes.
I think it was like for a gojillion dollars.
Yeah. It was like...
Quote me on it.
How much? And I went, I don't know.
All right.
Journalism at its best.
Speaking of antiques up for sale and or
Mr. Segway.
Antiques.
alongside his not-so-famous pals. One of the original Kermit the Frogs was donated to the Smithsonian National Museum of American History by Jim Henson's wife.
I saw that in the paper.
The group of the animals is consisted of one of the earliest Kermits, along with others who were originally seen at a tail end of a news broadcast show. They were all together, but nobody knows who they are.
Did you get the year of that?
I did not get the year of that. Do you have a year for me?
No, I don't know. It was in the 50s. It was in the 50s, which you hardly think, like, the Muppets were around them, but they were. It was like
he died the same day as Sammy Davis Jr. I remember that.
Did he really?
Yeah, it was. But they didn't really cover it too much. He got some coverage, but they didn't cover it as much as they did to Sammy Davis. So actually, three people died that day, but I can't remember the third. I know it was Jim Henson, and I know it was also Sammy Davis Jr.
And didn't he die of like a pneumonia or something?
Yeah, he had some kind of severe case of pneumonia. Yeah. He had like an infection. I think it was a lung infection or some kind of. Yeah,
that was a loss.
The only thing I remember about that is that they covered the wake on television. They had all the people in their costumes.
It's good that he had some kind of coverage because he was on.
They had Big Bird crying over a casket. It was so surreal for me to see. Like that's just kind of weird.
He had been on Arsenio Hall at least twice.
Yes.
And Arsenio Hall had a little excerpt about Sammy Davis Jr. Now it's fair that they might not have known, but he didn't say a word about Jim Henson the whole evening, and it was too bad.
I remember that day with Sammy. Sammy was an amazing person. I met him, and I remember that day. And the most memorable moment they were showing the funeral. It was like on TV.
Right.
But the thing that sort of bugged me about it was when they were doing Sammy's song, I Gotta Be Me, and Sammy was singing it. They had a recording of Sammy singing it. But the camera kept focusing on the coffin.
Like he was singing from inside the casket.
Show faces, show people crying. Don't show the casket because it sounded like he was doing his final song from inside.
No, don't.
That's what just popped in my head. Like,
and it's
Sammy.
Like, yeah, Sammy's singing from the casket. What a great entertainer he was.
Wow.
You know, it was like.
He's that good.
He's really dead now.
He's still dancing. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's better than
all your family showing up with a glove on and sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
A bunch of media.
Like, I love this song so much, I just had to come back once more.
I had to do it for you before I go
to that light.
Bottom line is, though, they didn't give enough respect to Jim Henson.
Yes.
But like I said, I did see that very surreal moment. They had all the Muppets.
I'm glad I didn't see that. That's probably imagery that was stuck with me for quite a while.
That's still with me. Still with me today.
I remember they introduced his son started doing Kermit after he died.
Yes.
I remember they had a Muppets episode or Muppets special or something like that where they had kept it out and Kermit wasn't in it for the entire special and then he popped in at the end.
Yes.
And they did his voice and it was close, but you could hear it wasn't.
Well,
really.
You knew. I was like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. Something's wrong here.
But it was nice, and then the Muppets kind of just faded off. You didn't see a lot of them.
Yeah, every once in a while you'll see them.
Nothing's going to beat the Muppets, though.
But supposedly, as the rumor mill goes, there is a Muppet 3D movie that'll be coming out next year.
That's fine with me.
Yes.
The greatest movie ever made was The Great Muppet Caper.
It's
one of the greatest movies. The Muppet movie was okay, but it was not as good as The Great Muppet Caper.
You know,
though I didn't like the Muppets Take Manhattan as much.
When they got married?
Yeah, that was
I liked the Muppet movie and the...
The Great Muppet Caper.
The Muppet movie was okay, but the Great Muppet Caper was... Yeah. That was a great movie.
We were talking about this last week about how the movie magic is made, and I saw the making of The Great Muppet Caper, and they were saying how in the first one they put the Muppets on like a bicycle or something, mm-hmm. and the second one they put like a whole bunch of them because they wanted to outdo themselves, and they showed how they did it, and if you watch the movie you can see, oh my God, there's a pole between the bikes holding them together, I was like, wow, that's just awesome. Like, it didn't ruin it for me. That was just awesome. how they put that together. So, final...
That was in the old days of Ingenuity, where they actually had to make something.
They had to make something,
CG Kermit.
It's like... That would be kind of disappointing.
American Werewolf in London, when they showed how they made the dog walk. You know, they put him on like a wheelbarrow almost that when you push the wheel, it made the feet move.
Right.
And then they had a guy in the front part of it. And it was just like, that's fantastic. You know?
See, so instead of saying, we just put in a computer.
And exactly.
Wait until Thursday.
Yeah, now you just get the keyboard and generate it.
Speaking of someone with no computer graphics.
Mr. Segway.
No computer graphics.
Spider-Man was nabbed by Aussie police in Sydney, Australia after he scaled a 57-story building in Sydney. He was just climbing up with his bare hands. 57 stories, dude.
They finally caught him. You'd think they'd be smart. He's going to the top. Let's just go there.
When he gets up
and
there.
Wait there.
Yeah. They risk a lot. Yeah. A lot less.
How did
danger.
They miss him the other time? He always went up.
They're waiting at the bottom. He's going to come down eventually. Oh, no, he's not.
I'm not going up there. There's stairs.
Well, we jumped to the next building. Yeah. Who saw that coming? Who saw that coming?
Alan
Dark
Robert.
Radioactive spiders.
Yeah. Well, he's going to pull like what they did in Dark Knight. He just climbs up into the wings and goes away.
Yeah.
Oh,
what did happen?
That's like the police officers. Follow him. I'm not climbing up the building. Use the stairs, damn it.
Remember Batman? Oh, what was it? Batman Forever with Val Kilmer?
Yes.
He attached these wires to the top of the building. The Batmobile could go up the side of the building.
Yeah.
Where was he going?
He's going up.
What are you
going
to do when he gets there?
Yeah. Park? I don't know.
Then the film conveniently cuts away after that, and the cops are just, he got away.
Yeah. There he goes.
Well, where's he going? Get a helicopter on top of the building. You caught
amazing,
Batman. And you have Batman. You've caught Batman. Because he didn't think it through. It's the first time Batman didn't think things through.
Oh, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
He got away
sits up there.
In the amazing world of editing.
Wish I had the bat jet with me.
like, where did these stairs go? They go up, Ray. Yeah.
Alan Robert is he's noted for a building climber. He scaled over 70 buildings so far in his life, including a 41-story Royal Bank of Scotland, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Petronas Tower in Kuala Lumpur.
He dresses like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There was a guy in the 70s who was doing that a lot. He dressed like Spider-Man. They arrested him. I forgot who he was, but I remember reading about it in the paper.
The actor who was
Spider-Man. It wasn't the actor who was Spider-Man. I would have told you that. I remember my mom telling me about it. She was reading it to me because I didn't read the paper back then. Well, there was a lot of words.
That's an amazing thing, the Sears building.
He didn't have his mask on. So I was like, that's not Spider-Man. He's got no mask on. She's like, he's in the Spider-Man suit. That's good enough. I was like, no, it's not. She said, you try to climb a building with a mask on. See if you can do it.
Yeah.
And I stopped talking after that.
makes sense to me. Okay.
And my mom ended a lot of conversations like that.
And last little bit of news for the movie fans out there for totals of this week.
News fans of totals and whatever.
The movie Machete, which was awesome.
Machete.
Machete, you got to say it right. He came in at number two for $14 million.
And my George favorite Clooney, director.
George Clooney, speaking of one of the Batmans, he was
number one.
Number one.
Excellent for him.
$16.4 million. Barely beat out.
I want to see The American. Looks interesting.
And Expendables, which we mentioned before, as
number three.
No, it went down to number six, but it's still raking
still
in the money.
It'd
be his top grossing movie of all time. And the movie Last Exorcism, which we mentioned last week, it's number four.
Number four.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's there. It's
lucky
people
movie.
Are still watching it.
Yay!
And it's amazing the cross reference of how bad the Exorcism was being taken, and it's still number four.
Yeah, well, that's how bad the movies are.
Yeah.
These days.
I think people are just going to see
what's
for curiosity and then coming out and saying, I wish I didn't go see that for curiosity.
Number three was Takers at $13.5 million.
I want to see Machete Kills and then Machete Kills again. That's going to be the greatest trilogy ever made.
It would be. We're about ready for our halfway point, so we'll be right back with Kane from Renia.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back after writing the Horror Express.
Yes.
For Kingston Radio, that was the Horror Express.
And Charlie's question was correct. Why would you get on the Horror Express?
Yes.
if you had a choice, if you purposely bought a ticket for the Horror Express, you can't really complain about anything that happens to you while you're on the Horror Express.
Well, the actual Horror Express for me was the A-Train. I used to take that every day. And that was the Horror Express.
The A-Train was pretty bad. I remember that from my high school years.
Oh, my God.
The A-Train, the D-Train, the B-Train, the C-Train.
Fantastic.
None of them were good.
Nothing was better than being stopped in a tunnel. Nobody was telling you what was going on. They would just stop.
The air was okay. There was very few problems with the climate. Mm-hmm. But there were people who made the climate a little difficult. And they were bigger trains. They weren't like the elevated trains, like the 2 train or the 1 and a 9. So they were these just huge, like kind of industrial trains with these wide thoroughfares that go through it. And it just, the people that got packed on there, and everyone was a zombie. You know, by the time by the time I got back to the Bronx, everyone was like, because no one could lift a finger to do anything.
Right. Every once in a while, you get a floor show. There'll be something. Yeah. Or if you're on the station, this was my favorite. You're on the station at rush hour. You see the train going by, and it's going to eventually stop. Train going by, every car is loaded, and then there'd be one car that was empty.
Right.
That's the car you don't get in, because that's the car the bum was in.
Yeah, that one guy.
And that one guy who made it smell very...
Who ruined the atmosphere in that particular car.
Literally.
That's a wonderful time living in New York.
Oh,
my God.
It's a great city.
So looking back at it now...
I'll miss it when it's gone.
I miss it.
Well, in a roundabout sort of way, that's what we're going to be talking about this week. Not trains, but just... an experience of going out about things. We're going to talk about the movie going experience.
I didn't do my homework, so I didn't know what we were going to talk about.
I love the movie going experience.
They say the economy is bad, and yet Avatar makes a gajillion dollars, highest grossing movie of all time this year. So, what is it about the movie going experience that people still come to, and yet, you know, the home theater systems and everything is so designed to take you out of the movie going experience? I mean, for you guys, what do you guys find is a movie going experience, not a good one or a bad one, just in general a movie going experience?
I think it's just going out, because after a while in your house you start to go stir crazy.
Yeah, it's cabin fever. You got
to
get out.
Yeah, and a movie, still as expensive as movies are, is still the cheapest game in town. Compared to like seeing an actual show, a Broadway show, or going to a game, and it's a better bang for your buck, because you've got a constantly repeating performance,
right,
exactly the same way as it started. So anybody who comes out of a movie and calls you and tells you got to go see this movie, you're bound to have the almost exact same experience that they did, depending on what the rest of your audience is doing while you're watching the film.
Or what kind of film you're watching.
Well, yeah. Or, you know, I mean, it's just... So it's just... obvious... And it's a date movie, you know, it's a date
movie. So
just
something to get out of the house. Is that what you're
I think that's
take?
A big part of it.
What do you think, Charlie? I think he's right.
I think it's three-quarters of it, at least, if not more. Because who wants to be in the house? You go into work, you come back home. If you want to relax, that's fine. But... You got to get out. If stress management, you got to get out of the house, got to get out of the cabin, go out. And also, for me, the movie-going experience is a good one, because I like to see movies in the theater on a huge screen.
So the question is, if you had a huge screen like that in your home, would you be watching more movies at home, or you still need to get out?
I would still need to get out. It's you know, like, every week I look to get out. It's a personal thing. I look to get out for stress management. You can't be working a gazillion hours a week and then you come home and you stay home. You look to get out.
For me, I mean, when I was a kid, I just used to go to movies all the time. And I used to go early in the daytime for the matinee because, you know, I'm cheap. And it's the same movie that they play at night. So, you know, why spend more for the same thing? Yeah. That's the thing. I like going to a theater that's not too crowded. I don't like theaters that are crowded. So when now that I have the opportunity, I see special screenings by myself. It is awesome. So really, I guess for me, I really don't have a movie-going experience anymore.
You know, on occasion, occasion, a big screen, a big audience is like on an opening night. That's pretty cool. Or when, especially opening night when you go with a bunch of friends. So at least you can control your little corner of the theater, and you and everyone sits in and everyone has the same experience at the same time because this is the opening night of the movie. So most of the people there haven't seen it yet. Those are decent, but for the most part, I don't really like a crowded theater either. Anymore.
So then
there's always some jerk behind me.
So then what would be the secret of the movie theaters out there to be like, hey, how are we gonna bring more people in if it's just they're gonna
cheaper.
Come anyway at all?
No, yeah. You need to make them cheaper and make the food. I mean, the experience is ridiculous. You don't experience as much as you pay. You know, you pay for much more than you get.
Well, that's true for any place. I mean, you just said it was the best bang for your buck. So
that's not saying that it's still that's not inflated. I'm just saying it's in the affordable. It's in the range of affordability.
It's the cheapest, most expensive thing you can do.
Exactly. Yeah. Well said.
Well, let's say bringing a family to the movies and then bringing the family to a ball game. You got to give them your firstborn male child for
that's
a hot dog.
$200-$300
The movie's
called. That's if you're cheap, you know. Yeah. That's if you got bad seats and you don't buy everybody, you know, some snacks. Yeah, that's about a $200 evening. Yeah.
So you just mentioned food and stuff. Does that play any part at all in the movie going experience?
No, the stuff is expensive, so you know. You go. People with families find ways around that, though. They go to CVS and they buy, and then it's in the pocketbooks, and you know they dole it out. But like, if you're going out, you know what the heck? I mean, you didn't.
And they always seem to sit behind me, people with the big CVS bags, or in front of me.
Yeah. But I I remember back in the day going to all the classic movies like Animal House and stuff like that. And it was nice to be with a crowd where everybody laughing. Everybody was laughing. And then the ultimate crowd participation movie, the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes. Yeah,
which was in the island back in the 70s. And we would go to midnight shows. I've never seen that movie.
Before
midnight. It was always. And the first time I went, I was amazed at how everybody participated. And that was a show. People kept going back and back to the movies to see.
It was
right. But that's
fun.
More than just a movie. It's a whole event.
Yeah. And it's
the participation, people made it an event.
Right.
It was the movie first. And then all of a sudden, people started. I don't know how that came about, but people started. And they ran up on stage in front of the screen to do. The dances and oh my god!
If you did that now, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, they still do that now. They
any other movie to draw.
I do that. I did that at Avatar.
Oh,
that's how I ended
did?
Up on Pandora.
That's how it was. Story. It wasn't the ship. It was.
I don't want to talk about it.
But
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So
he doesn't want to talk about it.
Don't want to talk about it.
Stop bringing it up.
Yes, I'll stop bringing it up. That you
mountain fellow, my friend. Come on. Imagine having to see that.
He's dead now.
And he owed me money when the mountain fell on him.
And your money went with you.
And he apparently had it on him because when I went through his quarters,
it was on his graveside.
Yeah,
right?
It was not a dime in the locker.
Hassan's $5 is gone.
It was more than $5. I wouldn't cry over $5. Well, I would.
Anyway, guy.
So, I mean, for me, when I was a kid, I never bought any of the stuff there because, once again, I was just cheap and the stuff is just expensive. But I really can't say with the way people are today, you know, the ADD and as you've many times have said, Hassan, how people are quote-unquote stupid. And we've complained many a times about the quality of the movies that are out there.
That's going to be
my
contribution to
that's what's
going to
be on your grave. And he never people are stupid, and he never got his $5.
Yeah, never got my $5.
So, I mean, the audience, they say the audience can't handle it just sitting through a two-hour movie. You know, you're at home, you can pause it, rewind it, go to the bathroom and everything.
That's not true. I mean, they got through Avatar, they got through Lord of the Rings.
But
that was
very
history.
Inconsistent, though, wouldn't you say?
Oh, my God. So, you know what? Use your intelligence, people. Go to do what you got to do before the movie. I mean, you know, it's like you got to go to the bathroom before you leave. Go to the bathroom before the movie.
And
it's not. Well, look, the studios say that people can't sit still. The studios say everything. The studios say that people don't like movies with people named Spike in them. You know, people. Right. I mean, the studios are dumb. The studios are proven wrong more than they're proven right. The problem is that they dominate the spectrum so much that they, you know, that they're,
they still have clout.
Yeah. No. Well, the crap that they put out gets money because it's the only game in town.
Okay. Just like,
so I mean, but whenever they get thwarted, whenever someone goes against the studio, it's always an Avatar. You know, it's always right. or Titanic, or you know, like the most recent trilogy of Star Wars. Was, you know, there wasn't one of them that made under $200 million, right. Even though everybody supposedly hates them.
Exactly.
So it doesn't... The studios are proven wrong every time, and they're proven wrong big time, you know?
For that Star Wars, I'll never forget. I don't remember who this guy is, and hopefully he's listening, because we appreciate your support. I was talking to him, and I was like, you know, I was working at Blockbuster at the time, and he came up to me, and I was like, oh, did you see the new Star Wars? And he was like, yeah, I saw it. And I said, well, and he asked me what I thought about it. And I said, well, I didn't like it because this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason. And he goes, yeah, you're right. I saw it 3 times. I'm like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. If he didn't like it, why would he see it 3 times?
Star Wars, it's a phenomenon, you know?
But like I hate him when he died at the end, but I'm going to go see it 8 more times.
Because when I, look, I'm the average... the average adult who's seen the original Star Wars, you know? Right. I saw the first one when I was 4, so that's how far back it goes. I saw the last one, Return of the Jedi, when I was 9. So, yeah, watching something, you know, from the ages of 4 to 9 going to have a profoundly different effect on you than watching something from the age of, like, 29 to 30
Correct.
Or to 35.
Yes.
So, you know, everybody who complains about it now is just not paying attention, you know, because everything that's wrong with the new ones was wrong with the originals, and everything that's right with the new ones was right with the originals, and the new ones do miss a few beats, but it's not a deal breaker.
My only thing I have with Star Wars, the recent one, is I just, you know, my whole big gripe with that was his acting.
The acting is bad in the originals. It's if you really pay attention, the acting is not.
Made it worse because now we're aware of what's happening.
That's the difference.
We're aware of what's happening, and we want him to.
You got
to
factor that in, though. That's your perception. That's not necessarily the medium. The medium has not changed. You weren't betrayed by the medium. You know, you're betraying yourself by being more analytical than you were when you were 10, you know.
are we safely saying that any kids that went to see that last Indiana Jones movie was not saying he survived in a refrigerator from the nuclear atom bomb?
I mean, come on. But you're talking about a guy who runs around with a bullwhip who can swing across buildings and, you know,
well, we've
he
done
shoots
shows
like
that,
40
you know,
Nazis with one Luger pistol. Nobody, there's only but so much you're supposed to examine these things.
That's a good pistol.
Yeah, it's a damn just. Yeah.
It's like, or
one I want one of those. Yeah. Actually, I don't. I wouldn't do anything good with it.
Money and bullets alone.
Speaking of bullets and shooting, and it's just Segway. One thing that has bothered me.
Bullets and shooting.
And so many people I've spoken to loved the movie Wanted. You know, the bullets, bending the bullets.
Right,
and,
right.
And
I don't know who are those people. We need to have a whole show on those people.
I've spoken to them, and everything I tear apart is like, yeah, you're right, but I still like the movie.
Right.
Because they said the action was great. And I'm like,
it's subjective. That's the problem. It's subjective.
But the explanation they gave was just far beyond my comprehension. If they would have said it was magic, if they would have said it was anything but what the explanation they gave us for why
what,
they
the movie?
Yes, the movie said they have their powers, which they're able to drive cars on sides of buses and buildings, was because they're able to make their heart rate go faster than a normal human being. That makes no sense. And I just can't get over that, and people seem to love it anyway, regardless of that fact.
It's the movie.
You can bend your bullet because your heart beats faster. It doesn't make any sense, and that, I just can't get beyond that level.
The guy in a blue suit can fly because we got a yellow sun instead of a red one. But
that's good for me.
Right.
I'm eating that up. No.
Right.
Or when we were talking about Superman walking across the country, you know, washing dishes.
Washing dishes. Fine.
Okay, sure.
Just the amazing thing that he's eating a Philly cheesesteak sandwich for me is...
I mean, how much sense are these things are supposed to make? How much sense is RoboCop supposed to make?
You go to the movies to escape.
You know, if he's not supposed to have an identity, why they let him keep his face? I mean, there's a lot of things that don't make any sense that you just kind of have to... The only time I get mad, because a lot of people say I'm always super critical with movies, but then some things I'll give a pass. I only get mad when the movies break their own rules. Like, if you tell me that RoboCop, you know, was once Alex Murphy, and then he got shot in a bunch of ties and they put him in a metal suit. And
right.
He, all right, if you tell me that that's who he is, and then at the end of that film he knows he's Alex Murphy, then when you start the second one and he doesn't know who he is again, that's breaking of the rules, because you've established that. So now that movie's crap. And that's as far as my rules go. But if you're going to tell me that a guy could shoot lasers out of his eyes unless he has ruby quartz over it, you know, then I'm fine. You know, a guy has metal claws because somebody put this crap in it on his bones. All right, yeah, sure, why not? If you tell me that that's the way it is, then that's the way it is.
Yes, it's in the book. It's in the book, yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Your science, though. If you want to mess with science enough, you can explain how he could drive a car up on the side of a wall because his heart rate is higher.
You want to try it?
I can explain it to you.
Not today.
I can give you an explanation.
Oh, but
am I explaining it, or am I just giving you technobabble that's going to dumbfound you so much that you go, okay, fine.
All right, too much talking. I see him more shooting stuff.
Exactly. You know, but I could explain it because his heart rate is higher. He's got a higher level of perceptibility, in which case he can operate the machine at a higher rate of efficiency, to some point where all of us could probably drive a car up a road if we were able to, you know.
Not up a road. Side of the building.
Up a side of the building.
With
no
back hook or
all
anything.
All of us could probably do that if we could perceive things at the level of his level of perception.
There's going to be questions that
done.
There's going to be.
Sure.
There's going to be questions. Questions that are never going to be make sense or never going to be answered. It's in reality and fantasy. Like,
the Matrix doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The Matrix says that this guy comes in, and the guy who's teaching him says, look, if you free your mind, you could do anything. And I know you could do anything more so than everybody else here who can do anything, because you're special. And they never tell us why that guy's special. And he never really seems to do anything other than fly. That much more superifical than everybody else, except for stopping bullets with his hands. But
except for this
that's
and that,
cool.
And then blowing up stuff. And
but I'm saying they never explain exactly what it is about his ability to manipulate his own perception of reality that allows him to do that. But you just buy it because you're like, all right. So
yeah, but the problem I'm having is that if you try to make an explanation to a movie, you should at least try to.
No.
Something. Sometimes it's better to just have no explanation at all and just let you figure it out on your own than just have them say, this is why, and it make no sense.
Well, yeah, but... I mean, yeah, sure. But using that, but I'm saying if you have a problem with that, then there's a lot of things you should have a problem with, because a lot of things that you like don't explain itself. Doesn't bother explain itself whatsoever.
Like,
so you got to be consistent.
What was that, Superman 3?
Like, Superman in general. Well, like, how does that work? Oh, because when he's on this planet, he's normal. But when he's here, the yellow sun makes him able to shoot lasers out of his eyes.
I'm going to go with Superman
3. Those damn yellow sun.
I'm going to go with Superman 3 as one of my biggest... I think I mentioned this before.
Superman 3. You got all the way up to the Richard Pryor one before you plucked the problem with it?
He was fighting the robot machine, whatever, and they put him in an airtight air bubble thing, and he's suffocating. And then at the end of the movie, he's flying in outer space. I'm like, hey, there's no oxygen out of space, but he's okay, and he can't breathe inside a little bubble.
I think the point of this entire conversation is that we shouldn't really watch movies that closely.
Okay.
We should enjoy it.
So maybe the ADD
you
and the
guys,
people is actually better.
This question bothers you guys. You know what bothers me?
What?
If 7-Eleven is open 24 hours, why do we have locks on the door? That bothers me. That's reality, all right? Okay? So there you go.
That works.
So let me make a 360.
Why do we drive on a parkway and park on a driveway?
I'm going to make a 180
There's
turn.
There's another one, but
Tom
will
hit
me
if try to
hit
myself. I'm going to make a 180 U-turn and get back to the audience, because that's what we kind of
most
like, the ADD.
With those people.
The ADD audience. And 9 times out of 10, you know, the target audience is obviously the kids 18 to 34. That's the target audience
right.
for everybody.
Right.
And... you go into a theater, there's cell phones, there's Twittering, there's so much more going on besides them just watching the movie. So do you guys think that's also a part of it, that they're allowed to do these things even though it's not encouraged?
There's a big announcement at the beginning, please turn off your cell phones.
Yeah, but they still do it, and you get the little lights on, and it's very distracting, but that allows them to go to the movies now with the ADD. If they weren't able to have any of this technology with them, would they be able to actually sit in the theater at all?
Some of them. Yeah, but
well, let's say, just, but we're talking the general movie going.
I don't know if you should feed into the ADD though. ADD is not a good thing. It's not like a natural form of evolution. You know, like attention deficit disorder is not. You know, by the name
disorder.
Of the disorder alone is.
And 10 to 1, those people will say, "I don't go to movies. I can't sit there," and they won't go.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you should learn to sit still. You know, it's like you shouldn't cater to your ailment. You know, if you can't do something, that doesn't necessarily mean that you should never try, yeah. Or you should never do it, or that they should come up with something, you know, that caters to your particular disorder or dysfunction. You know, I don't countenance that. That's ridiculous. Like, I can't sit still for an hour and a half, so I'm just never going to go to the movies. Or they have to make movies shorter, or they have to make movies faster, or it has to be more action.
Sometimes people think
I have to be able to use my cell phone, yeah. I have to be able to play a video game in the middle of the movie because I can't pay attention. No, you just can't experience this facet of society, then. You learn how to deal with it.
I definitely know people who say that.
They don't deserve to go to the movies.
You have to be able to read the sign completely to the end.
And they know, it's not a matter they don't deserve to go. They don't want to go because of it.
Yeah, and I don't disparage this disability because it's a serious one.
Yes.
All right? But it's something that we cannot cater to, you know?
Okay.
All right? There are certain things. If you cannot walk, you know, if you have certain handicaps, then we do have to, in our society, make exceptions for these people. We have to make accessibility to all things so we experience them. That is a different situation, a different scenario. ADD is a very serious problem, but it's something that everyone who has it should work on, or it should in some way be trying to treat. It's not something that should be catered to, you know. So it's like, you know, it's like having stairs. You know, every time someone comes in with a wheelchair, it's you can't come up here. You know, we have to find a way around that.
Right.
We can't cater to it. Like, oh well, some people just can't come into this building because they just don't have legs.
That actually reminds me of an episode of South Park where the kids they all diagnosed the kids having ADD, and the kids going listen around, and they had a training video on how to handle ADD, and he smacked them. Sit down and study. Sit down and study. And then he just sat down and studied and started writing stuff down. Like that was the cure.
Yeah.
That was like,
I don't condone that.
No, we don't condone that.
Yes, I can't remember.
I must say, smacking
children, telling them to sit down and not move.
I must say.
Or smacking nail at the movie going public. Yeah. You know, sit down and watch the movie.
But teaching
the
people
hand
to
comes
pay,
up out of the seat. And
teaching people to pay attention is important.
Yeah.
ADD can't be catered to because you can't do anything eventually. If you can't sit in a movie theater for 3 hours and you can't drive a car, you can't be on a plane, you can't riding a bus for more than a half hour, you know?
Well,
it's something that definitely, there are a lot of facets of our society that you can't experience because have untreated or you've had this ailment that has been catered to all this time.
Wow.
So it's not, you know, it's not, it goes beyond just movies.
Everyone would know how to sit still if they all went to Catholic school.
That's true.
You know?
But then they can't even have Catholic school like they used to, because
I got my butt
kicked at Catholic school.
Speaking of the
destroyed at Catholic school.
Oh, my God. I've always said, if I ever see those nuns or brothers, I'd beat the living hell out of them. Because now I can,
That's why they stay in a convent, and those convents are fortified against you. You can't break into those things.
He's coming in, get him.
Yeah, they got like holy ninjas.
There's little Johnny. We threw him down the stairs, get him.
But lastly, last week we did talk about editing and how it has been changing because of the ADD thing. So
everything is kinetic.
You know, are you saying that Hollywood should just be like, we're not even going to?
It just shouldn't cater to it.
These guys.
Know?
I mean, that's the target audience.
What you give these people, eventually, they will absorb. You know, so the more you cater to them, the more their ailments are going to twist it, and then the more and more you're going to skew your basic entertainment medium to fit with the changing mentality, the changing attention span, and eventually movies are going to be 10 minutes long. They're already doing things on cable where they're calling a 30-minute movie. It's a TV show. It's not a movie. Movie, the definition of movie is anything over an hour, you know? So it's not a movie, but no, it's a 30-minute movie. It's they're changing the definition of everything. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I'll tell you, I have to say,
a 5-minute movie. Yeah. You know, stop it.
I'll be right out. I'm watching a movie. Yeah. But I
went to the bathroom and missed the whole thing.
What, it's over? Yeah. Wow, you really did have to go. Anyway, I have to say it. I know Tom would agree with me on this one, that I loved going to the movies. When I was growing up, it was the best experience. They had the grindhouse, the double features, the horror movies. And Herman could tell you, too. He was part of that. And we had the double features, and it wasn't a lot of money to get the food and stuff like that. But it was great. You actually sat in the theater, and you saw two movies in that same theater, which was quite lovely, by the way. It was like
it was
quite
pleasing,
an architectural marvel. And I remember seeing...
Well, the old theaters were the comfortable seats and stuff. Yeah. You can't. We did Grindhouse Now. They did the Death Proof and Planet Terror.
And that actually
I was miserable trying to sit through that, though, because it was the theater was so uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like an intermission where I could get up and like walk around. There's 5 minutes between each movie.
Right.
It was just, you just sat there, and it was a little too long. But that was almost six hours.
Six hours,
anything is going to be too much.
And in reality, when you did go to double features, they had a
break
in the middle, break, and they had a break in the middle, and it was a wonderful time, and that's why I always think I'd, regardless how it gets, I'll like the movie experience, because it's been, you know.
Well, I remember my mom used to say in the old days she used to pay like 10 cents and used to have like a short in the beginning, the cereals.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird how that's sort of kind of coming back again.
It's
think
coming
about
back,
it,
but
like
we're
little,
paying for it. Though.
Oh, yeah. Instead of 10 cents, it's $30.
10 cents got you a whole afternoon worth of activities, you know, back in the day.
Well,
no.
they started doing that a while back when they started showing the cartoons. Does anybody remember cartoons before a movie?
Actually, Despicable Me has a new
and it was always Warner Brother. It was always Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck. It was always an hysterical movie. And the audience would be cracking up. You see it on your TV every Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's in the movies, the
After
same
Who
one.
Framed Roger
oh, my
Rabbit,
God.
They used to have. They had a couple of those.
There you go.
So maybe it's just going to be an amalgam of things. It's not just going to be one thing.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
See, so I was going to say, was that your final thought? Because we got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Charlie, you have a final thought?
My final thought is go out, enjoy yourself. Enjoy everything. Enjoy the going out experience for stress management. And go to the movies.
Stay away from Pandora.
It's probably the cheapest medium we have today.
I say if you're going to go to the movies, just like everything else, look for the best deal, best buy, see the best prices. Go in the morning if you can. Yeah. You know, same movie late at night, you know.
To plan ahead and be comfortable.
Yes.
You'll enjoy your experience.
Make sure you go to the bathroom and everything.
Exactly.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From Radio. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. You can see us, hear us on archives. You can't see us on archives. And if you ever have a question for us, you can always email us at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And we will see you next week for the second year of Came From Radio.
Good night, Herman, wherever you are.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.